Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience all around the nation and the world. Those that are on our Facebook, we love just communicating with you and all of your comments. Very, very cool, very wonderful, and we're appreciative that we get this opportunity to do it together. Joining me today in the studio, here to encourage you, is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. Well, my goodness, we are four programs back-to-back. Don't forget, VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFNTV in the daily video program. And so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it with over 3,000, Pat, 3,000 highlights that are available for you so that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures. We have videos. Mm-hmm. We have graphs sometimes. And just allows you to take more time to really go deeper, because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles, and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN torch, where you can look up prophecy, all the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent. And we have a new one that I'm very excited about, Third Great Awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation, and with hopes and prayers and belief that a Third Great Awakening is going to touch our nation, and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation, and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always, because he, my goodness, he is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today. Well, in our program today, we're going to be talking about the journey of faith. That's exciting. I know Steve's going to be sharing about that. And we're also going to be talking about a cashless society. It looks like less Americans are carrying cash, a whole lot less. And you're going to be surprised at some of the statistics, but I believe less than 40% of people even carry $50 or less in their wallets now. And everything is being card, swipe, swipe. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to remove probably all cash. And they're right now quickly developing technology so that you can be able to use on your smartphones. They have been doing this for quite a while. This has been already in the process, but looks like we are getting very, very close to be really cashless. And we're just money. And I think what they're just trying to work out now is a safe way. And then, of course, you know, there's a little, you know, something called the mark that they're probably headed to. So be aware, be paying attention to what's happening. But Steve, talk to us, and know that you have been abiding. You want to share a word that God's laid on your heart about faith.
Yeah, I was extremely encouraged. God just dropped a little nugget in my body time, and it really just kind of took me on a journey of our walk. And I was reading in Psalms 103, and you know, you're talking about spiritual fathers and just a relationship. And what God had said to me, he says, when you read in Psalms 103, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed, and he remembers that we're dust. And it really just kind of reminded me that, you know, and God began to remind me, he says, you know, I remembered when you called out to me. I remembered when you found out that you needed me. I remember when you decided to say yes to me and no to yourself. God remembers all of those journeys. And so often that we forget where we came from. We forget those growing moments when we decided to make that transition from spiritual milk to food, or when we're just walking with God. And it really began to remind me of the fact that you know, Greg, I think shared once before, it's just like, we've got to remember those moments when we walk with God. God says something to us. Have a memory shelf. Have something in your life. Have an item. Have a little have a little memento or something, you know, in your office, in your bedroom, wherever you are, so you remember, oh yeah, I remember that. And the whole situation comes back. And it's just like, you know, God has a memory shelf too of us. God has that shelf of remembrance because he remembers where we came from. He remembers that journey with us. And it really got me to thinking, and when the disciples walk with Jesus, I think about, there were so many things that Jesus made known to him. There's so many things that Jesus talked to him about. Jesus told him, he instructed him. But when you look in John 16, Jesus is talking about what's happening. He's talking about, you know, what he's doing. And it says the fact that he was talking to him in figures of speech. It says in verse 29, it says, "Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and don't even need to ask anyone your questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you know, you believe at last. And there was a journey that they went through to begin to see. They had eyes to see. Their faith was lifted. But they had spent time with Jesus. And it began to encourage me that our faith has to go through a journey. Our faith has to be mature. Just as we mature, mm-hmm. the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we begin to see things as Jesus sees them. And then it began to just, how much it impacted me, thinking about the fact that, okay, Jesus spent 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Teaching them, spending time with them, increasing their faith for them to be able to see. And he even tells them, okay, well, there was a time when he wasn't going to be with them.
Right.
Then he was going to come back. But you think about those 3 days, and I think we talked about this before. Those 3 days went by, but then Jesus reappears, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at, I think Mary was actually the first one that Jesus revealed himself to. Mm-hmm. But when Mary first saw Jesus, she didn't see Jesus as Jesus.
Didn't recognize him.
She was just like, you know, where did you
thought
bury
he was like
him?
The gardener.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, and you can read that in John 20, but she did not see him, who he was. He had to call out to her name. He says, Mary. And she says, Rabboni, or it's the whatever word for teacher.
Yeah.
But she had to be reminded when he called out her name. Then I think about the disciples that walked along the road to Emmaus. They knew all the things that had happened. They had been walking with Jesus, and they did not see Jesus who he was. Mm-hmm. But they didn't get the full picture. And Jesus says, you know, you're not getting it. Mm-hmm. And the word even says that he had to walk them through Scripture, and he opened up Scripture to them. They walked with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. But it wasn't until Jesus spent time with them and broke bread with them. And it says their eyes were opened and they began to see. And that was just really, really encouraging me, because it's just like, your faith is so important. Mm-hmm. But it began to just really emphasize to me how important our abiding is, because it's the same thing for us. If we're spending time with Jesus, we're having that clarity. His light is shining on us. His voice is speaking to us. Just like when Jesus called to Mary, she began to see. And I saw that connection, and it says in Romans 4, you know, Paul's writing about the faith of Abraham. And it says when God gave Abraham a promise, he was talking about the promise of Isaac, and his wife was Rachel, I believe.
Sarah.
But both of them were old in age. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense in the natural, but God says, you're going to have a son. He's going to name Isaac. Mm-hmm. And what Paul writes in Romans 4, he says, yet he did not waver through unbelief. He had faith. He had faith regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Mm. And that's so really, I was just kind of seeing that connection. It's just like, if we're not spending time with Jesus, if you think about the disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, mm-hmm. and after 3 days, they had to be reminded all over again why Jesus came, because their faith had been shaken. They mm-hmm. they didn't abide for 3 days.
Right. It's not working out.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's that much more important, because it says that their eyes were opened. Their eyes, that they were able to see. And I think that was just really encouraging me of just like really highlighting the faith that we have every morning mm-hmm. when it's just like, God, speak to me.
Yeah.
And how much faith that is to receive and expectantly look to spend time mm-hmm. with them.
Well, faith has to be exercised. And we laughed a minute ago about they weren't working out, but you have to exercise. If you don't use mm-hmm. it, if you don't challenge yourself in your faith, just like, you know, God lays in your heart to pray for somebody, you know, you got to respond to that. Right. And as things happen, your faith gets built. Mm-hmm. You know, you get strengthened in your faith. The more mm-hmm. you use it, the more you exercise it. Mm-hmm. It's just like a muscle. You know, if you don't use your muscles, if you don't exercise or work out mm-hmm. or whatever, you atrophy. You just, you know, turn to mush.
And that's the one we've talked about in conjunction with all that is the implementation and the practiced word of God. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to have any foundation in God. It the wrong time to exercise the faith muscle is when you're facing the big one. It's like, I got to have faith. Well, you haven't had faith all this time. You haven't believed God for anything.
Right.
And now you got this major illness, and mm-hmm. now it's taking everything you have to believe for something.
Right.
You know, and it's, you have no faith because you had never walked in faith.
Right.
And today in America, with so many things at our disposal, with so much wealth and so many different avenues to reach out and get help, mm-hmm. very few, you know, you have to engage yourself. Yeah, mm-hmm. you can go do something else, but it's like, before you go ahead and put it on that credit card, why don't you just believe God that he's going to give you the finances that you need for that? Before you run and quickly go get that Tylenol, why don't you actually pray? Is the first, you know, inclination is, my head hurts, go get a Tylenol? Or is it the first inclination, my head hurts, I'm going to lay hands on myself
mm-hmm.
and declare healing over my mind and, you know, and believe, you know, pray for my healing.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's required. We have to practice our faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then the big one comes and it's like, well, hey, you have to walk this thing out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where the really exciting thing is, because it really gets me to think about the fact that that's why our abiding time is so important, because it's raising our faith. And it's that much more of an excitement because, you know, when you're reading Hebrews 11, it's just like faith is being sure of what you hope for. And it's being certain of the things that you don't see. You know, we speak things that are not as if they were,
mm-hmm.
but it's that much more of a significant, because if you don't think abiding is important, it's just like, you're going to be like, wait, who is Jesus again? And like, okay, tell me the story. And you're going to find yourself in that place where the very disciples were after 72 hours apart from him.
Mm.
And that's how vital the light is. That's how important it is. His voice is that we need that guidance every day. And it was just really just bringing that much more of an encouragement. It was just like, wow, that's how beautiful abiding is. I love what you say. You said many times before, it's just like, abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do.
That's right.
We get to spend time and have that quiet time with Jesus.
Not a got to, but a get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just really, really lifted me up in that moment.
That's so powerful. You know, we have a free gift for you, and you can get it at iabide.org. We speak about abiding quite often, and you may be just tuning in today or watching us now, and you may be saying, abiding, what, you know, I've heard that before. It's John 15. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so God has called us to be followers, ones that are in love with him, not just love him. And when we do that, we spend time with those that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day you have the opportunity as a son and a daughter of God to spend time. You have access with the King.
Mm.
And you can read your word, but not just read your word. You have the opportunity to jot and write down exactly what God's saying to you about you for that day. And what you'll find is that through a series of weeks and months, you'll find that there is a theme, a trend that God is maybe communicating to you, and you enjoy fellowship with God. Listen, for us to grow in the faith, for us to have our spiritual faith exercise, we need to walk in relationship with the Lord. And the way to do that is by abiding with him daily. Remember, get your free gift at iabide.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week, and in that it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience and our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ and just hearing ourselves from the Lord and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-mm. And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.
My name is Rodney Hart Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. Your nation is counting on you. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. Celebrate America is July the 1st through the 19th, nightly meeting at 7 p.m., and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
We got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about in our previous, before the break, and how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select Get Your Free Plan Today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to vfntv.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak. We were talking about how in right now we are seeing a trend, and have been seeing this trend for quite some time, where cash is trying to be phased away. When you look at our economy, I think the whole economy is trying to be phased away. But cash, the paper stuff, looks like it's trying to get it to go away. And Bankrate.com put out an article, and the author is Allison Ross, and she talks about how the financial security index charts and cash and all these different things are changing. And she begins by saying that yet in another sign that that cash's significance is waning, a new Bankrate survey found that two out of five consumers carry less than $20 in cash on a daily basis.
I believe it.
Think about that. Less than $20. Now, I also think, too, that it has to really depend in the region of the country that you live in. Because, when I lived in Florida, I didn't carry, much cash at all. Everything was pretty much my, debit card, and I would probably fall into that category. But I quickly found out when I was in New Jersey and New York, some of these stores here, they don't want none of that card stuff. I went to a restaurant one time, a nice, good, one of my favorite little spots, for some great food.
Some pizza joint?
Not a pizza joint. I went to get some good old Dominican food, and I went to give her my card, and the lady said, "What's that?" they didn't want plastic. They want the cash stuff. Wow. They want the cash stuff. So depending on where you are, in some places in the city are like that too. Mm-hmm. They just want all cash. But the trend is coming. I mean, it is coming. And this is what they're saying. This is the pockets of many Americans are now crammed with a bevy of alternatives, such as debit cards, credit cards, smartphones with electronic payment apps. And while cash isn't going away anytime soon, they're saying, the role it plays in the marketplace may change in an increasingly wired world. Because what they're trying to do, obviously, is set up a way that you can transfer money electronically. And there's different companies like PayPal and different things that have been launched that is helping us to get to that place. Mm-hmm. But they came up with some statistics, and they say that in this survey, more than two-thirds of consumers carry less than $50, carry $50 or less on a regular basis. So those days of trying to rob, if we have any thieves out there, but you're going to rob somebody for some money. Hey, they don't have any cash on them. They don't have any money. About 9% of those surveyed say that they don't carry cash at all. 9%. 6% of those making $75,000 or more carry more than $250 in cash, compared with 2% of the overall population. So they make it more, they're probably carrying more. Mm-hmm. And women tend to carry less than men. 77% of women carry $50 or less on a daily basis, compared to 61% of men. And so what they're saying is that, hey, listen, cash can be stolen. You can lose it. It could be returned. There are some security, issues regarding, electronic money, but at least we can track it and find out, where it went to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. But, we talked in a previous segment. Do you remember what happened in South Korea? It's amazing how things happen. And out of sight, out of mind. But not too long ago, within a year or two, in the South Koreans, their banks and their and a major media network crashed by cyber attack. And in that same week, we covered it here on VFN TV and the VFN radio program, and as well as you'll see it on The Torch, and we'll make sure this is related. But at the same time, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, online security was attacked, as well as former President Bill Clinton. And you look at this stuff and say, wait a minute. Hello, if the First Lady can be hacked, rest assured, we're open game, okay? Uh-huh. And although there's a big push to go ahead and make everything electronic and everything that's digital, I'm just reminded of John Paul Jackson's prophetic word in The Perfect Storm, and the title of one of the things that he was shown was Cyber Attacks Cripples Grid. Mm. Multiple collapses with restart efforts. We want to encourage you. Mm-hmm. This is a prophetic program here to encourage you to allow you to share with you what God has made known to us and to others, how you can be prepared for what is happening in the future. And although they're saying that, hey, it's more convenient for you to carry cards, it's more convenient for you to use your iPhone to check in and transact business, who needs petty cash? What are you going to do with the loose change? We're going to carry that in your bathing suit. Listen, it's okay. It's okay to get a paper bill in the mail. Let's forget all that green stuff. We've heard that before. Mm-hmm. And get a paper bill in your house. And also, if you do transact, you know, business online, and many people do, just make sure that you print that paperwork off. Be able to show that you have paid your debts, that you have made your mortgage payment, that you were able to pay the car note. Because when it cripples, when you see a collapse, when you see things like that go down, the only way you're going to be able to prove that that debt was paid is the fact that you printed it out. You know, a lot of people will just look at their their check register. We know some people in banking system, their check register is what the computer screen shows them. Well, when the computer screen goes out and you can't look at what you have in the bank, these people in South Korea had no access to their cash at all. You want to know what you have in your account because you have it down on paper. Listen, just because of convenience, we don't want to sacrifice everything. And so many people are sacrificing so much for comfort and convenience. God's not interested in our convenience. He's interested in our character. We can be prepared for what comes if we heed the voice of the Lord and we practice and implement the wisdom of God. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that
If in fact that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and all of those that are listening on VFN Radio all across the country and the world. We're excited to be with you here today. We have a program that's really exciting, full of information that we're going to share, hopefully to educate and inspire you to take action. And joining me today in the studio is your producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kolaszewski.
Hello.
Hello, hello. My goodness. We have been speaking about in our previous program about the rampage that occurred in California from this young man that thought really more highly of himself than he should have. And in the wake of all of that, you know, people have been killed, people have been hurt, and it's just, I mean, horrific, absolutely horrific. And we shared about this yesterday, but, you know, they're talking about this more and more. CBN reports about how the culture of sex and violence, you know, has really contributed to this. I want you to listen and watch this.
Back here at home, nearly all of the people who were wounded in Friday's shooting rampage in Santa Barbara are now out of the hospital. And last night, students across the University of California system honored those who died in the massacre Elliot Roger carried out Friday. Meanwhile, police continue their investigation, and we're learning more about those 10 minutes of terror, which included 12 crime scenes, 13 people injured, 3 shot dead, and 3 stabbed to death inside Roger's apartment. Roger outlined his deadly plot in a 137-page manifesto sent to family, friends, and his therapist. Reportedly, Roger's parents desperately tried to find him after receiving the document, but it was too late.
A California college pastor says America's worship of sex and violence is partially responsible for Roger's killing spree. Reverend David Guzik said the massacre shows that the idols of our culture work destruction in the lives of troubled people, and that America needs Jesus or it will be given over to the sex cults and the death cults, which he says drive people to do terrible things. Authorities say Roger's obsessed with exacting, quote, retribution for social and sexual isolation.
Think about that. Think about that. Today you hear, you know, on the news, you know, it's like they're still wondering, Steve, Pat, they're still wondering, what could drive this young man? What possibly questions are looming? Mm-hmm. Really? Really? And it's like it's time to catch a clue, and not even catch a clue. Stop ignoring the facts. Stop ignoring the facts that we have, like was just mentioned, an over-sexualized culture that puts sex right in front of everyone's face 24 hours, 7 days a week. On anywhere, you can go to the checkout stand in your local grocery store and something's up everywhere. You know? And the fact that it's violence, I mean, those two go, it's like hand in hand. And you're seeing them everywhere. We talked in our previous program, you know, regarding what occurred and some of those details. And we're not going to, you know, kind of re-talk about that, those details in a way, but we are going to talk about how, you know, we can't be ignorant and we can't fall into the trap of what, if you will, mainstream media continues to want to put in our face as they're quote-unquote looking for answers, looking for clues, looking for opportunities to find out what happened when the truth is right in front of us. And with that being said, you know, the shooter was into violent video games. This is something that he continually watched over and over and over again. You know, he obviously had all these thoughts about desiring women on his campus, and he, in his video, clearly said that they should be with him. They should be with him, Steve. That you know, and because they weren't with him, and because they didn't choose him, that he was going to make sure that they suffered and had what he called a day of retribution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really horrible to see what is happening. But the truth is that this young man was actually honest. I mean, a lot of people feel this way. They just disguise it. They think that they're all that, mm-hmm. and the world owes them. And what you hear from the media over and over again, and from folks in general, is that immediately they try to attack guns and say, well, we didn't take the guns out of his hands. Right. You know, we got to take the guns out. It's like, well, look, guns don't kill people. People kill.
I think
he
stabbed a few folks, too.
Yeah, we're going to outlaw knives. You know, think about this. 137-page manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
137. This wasn't something
How narcissistic can you be?
That's amazing. And this young man obviously needed help, and what he needed was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at all the, I mean, really, you look at all the problems that are happening in society, you will always be able to trace them down to either someone's sin or someone else's sin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sin issue. It always boils down to a sin issue, and it's righteousness that exalts a nation. And we got to get back to a place where we're saying it the way it is. Like, listen, this has nothing to do with guns. It has nothing to do with all these other side issues. It has to do with the fact, look what we're pumping in front of our kids, you know, every day on TV. Look what we have, mm-hmm. the games that we're purchasing for children that mm-hmm. have no value at all. I mean, I don't know how a parent can be okay with purchasing a game that shows literally, I mean, the underbelly of life and crime. I mean, this Grand Theft Auto stuff is like, man, it is wild.
Mm-hmm.
And you have children that are looking at this stuff. I remember a young man that I was ministering to in New Jersey who lived in a country outside of the United States, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he had never been to New York City. And he had just came to New Jersey, never been to New York City, wanted to go. In fact, we're driving through New York City, and he says, What's the building that was in Spider-Man? Was it the Daily Bugle or what was it? whatever building was? He says, is that the Daily Bugle? Or like, that's in the movies.
That's not reality.
That's in the movies.
Oh, wow.
So we're in Manhattan and down in Manhattan by the financial center, around and down in that area, and you have Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going through Chinatown, and I'm going to take them literally from, you know, I'm going to take him all the way up to 42nd Street and Times Square and all that. But we started down in Chinatown. And he starts telling me, Little Italy's over here. And he starts telling me about Chinatown. And I go, you've never been here. How do you know about this? And he says, Grand Theft Auto. And just show it because they have it in different cities.
Actual city.
Yeah. And so he's just telling me all this type of stuff that happens in the game and all that. And it's just amazing. But this is what hours of children watching this. And this is what is programmed into their minds. I mean, garbage in, garbage out. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, and it's just the culture today. You look at the music and some of the things that are being said in some of these songs. I mean, you can only say these songs and declare them and watch with video and watch with games and until you start to begin to start doing them yourself. Because it's part of what's in entering your eyes. It's part of what's entering your ears. And then you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what's cool. Maybe that's what's accepted. Maybe that's what I need to do. And the truth is that, listen, this is not, young people that are listening here today and watching, this is not what you need to do.
Right.
You know, obviously this young man needed a whole lot of help. And because he didn't get help for whatever reason, I mean, we don't know, but for whatever reason that he didn't get help, in 10 minutes, my understanding, the report said in 10 minutes, many, many people were hurt, not just physically hurt, but also, I mean, you have the fallout of this is that other people, you know, that are related to those that got hurt are experiencing the, you know, the pain as well. You have parents that have lost their children. You have people that have been stabbed that miraculously have survived. I mean, you have folks that now, you know, in the school system that are terrified of, you know, what else can happen next. Mm-hmm. And in 10 minutes, a shootout occurred where people were bleeding to death. And it's like, man, just the total disrespect of loss, you know, of life. And we just got to begin to start reevaluating things and stop blaming and accepting lame excuses for why people, you know, do such things. We got to understand that evil is evil. And as long as we continue to remove, you know, prayer out of schools, as long as we continue to remove Ten Commandments out of, you know, places because it offends us. What's more offensive? What's more offensive? The Word of God that tells us to honor and to love each other and to treat each other as we would treat ourselves. Is that more offensive than actually having someone come into a school and shoot and maim and hurt people? And so let's get a grip. Let's get a pulse on this. And it's time. This is what happens too, that when a lot of this nonsense is being shared, the way this continues to grow, Pat, and gets established in the hearts and minds of other people is when good people who know better remain silent and don't say nothing about it.
Right.
When they don't say, man, that is just foolishness. That has nothing to do with guns, or this has to do with the real issue. Mm-hmm. And when we start speaking out, being informed, educating others, and not just go with the flow, and we begin to help people turn to God, then we're going to see a dramatic difference in our society and in our culture. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. And let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, Find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Big and beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey. Hello.
We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And I was and we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything. You know? But seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh, my goodness, beautiful. Yeah, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
Thank you. Thank you.
He's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for the list, Ian. Thank you.
Welcome to the Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time.
You forgot, really?
It up.
You know, you were like,
oh, please.
Ian, get back to Ian's list.
Okay.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, I think.
Oh, my. Where did that come from?
I have no idea. But I'm John Ramos, and welcome back to the program. Joining me today in the studio is Pat and Steve.
We're listening now.
Yeah. Interesting.
Don't look at me, man.
Okay. Well, in breaking news, I do want to share with you real quick. This is just breaking, and we've shared about this previously on VFN TV, that the Sudanese woman who was sentenced for apostasy, she reportedly has given birth in prison. This is Miriam Ibrahim, Fox News is reporting. She gave birth to a girl Tuesday in the hospital wing of the prison. She's in prison, and she's also in prison with her 20-month-year-old son. She gave birth to a daughter named Maya, and she is in prison today for refusing to renounce her Christian faith. And they put her in prison. This is what's happening in this Muslim nation. Mm-hmm. She says, I was never a Muslim, she told a judge. I was raised a Christian from the start. And now, this is what the court in Khartoum ruled earlier, that Ibrahim must give birth and nurse her baby for 2 years. For 2 years before being executed. She was sentenced to execution, but must receive 100 lashes for adultery immediately after having her baby, for having relations with her Christian husband. Ibrahim could have spared herself death by hanging simply by renouncing her faith. Think about this.
Wow.
Think of the day and age that we're living in, and this woman has been sentenced to execution, 100 lashes, after she has given birth to a baby, which reportedly Fox News says happened Tuesday. And all she had to do was renounce the fact that she was a Christian, and she'd be okay. See, you understand, you can't, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to renounce him. Mm-mm. You're not going to renounce him. You can't renounce him.
That's right.
That alone is such a huge sign and a witness to the entire world. Who is this Jesus that this woman refuses to renounce him and yet suffer such harm? He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is no way to the Father but through him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we want to encourage you today. We pray for Miriam right now. Father, we just pray for her protection. We pray for her soon release. We pray that the United States government will intervene in her situation right now and rescue this woman from the 100 lashes that they said she's about to receive and from execution. God, we ask you to have mercy, and we ask you to move on her behalf, Lord, and rescue Miriam. We want to continue to share about these things that are happening, the persecution of our brothers and our sisters, and to understand that, listen, this is happening in Sudan. You know, their penal code criminalizes the conversion of Muslims into other religions, which is punishable by death, according to Fox News. And Muslim women in Sudan are further prohibited from marrying non-Muslims, although men are permitted to marry outside their faith. Children, by law, must follow their father's religion. I mean, this is just ludicrous and crazy. And to say that Islam is a religion of peace, hello, these are the facts. 100 lashes being sentenced to hanging. Let's catch a clue. Uh-huh. This is what's happening in our world today. Listen, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. Islam and Muhammad requires you to lay your life down for him. Don't think so. I'd rather have Jesus, and we want to be able to continue to share the light into these Muslim countries that they may have the hope in finding a Savior who sacrificed all for them. Steve, I know that God's been speaking to you about some things that you wanted to share. Talk to us about what you've been reading in your abiding time.
Well, I was just been really encouraged, you know, looking at... you know, I was reading Acts 5, and it was just really talking about, just really unfolded, you know, looking at this chapter, the transformation that the church went through. And when you look at Acts 5, it talks about the fact that there was a significant transition. And, you know, we had spoken before on some previous programs as far as Ananias and Sapphira. And, you know, they got it mixed up. And initially... they did something, but they were thinking that who they were dealing with was basically man. And when you read about it in Acts 5, it's just like they responded to Peter, but they didn't realize that what they were doing was basically responding to God. Mm-hmm. And they were basically struck down, and mm-hmm. they died in that very presence. And it talks about, it says that great fear seized all who had heard about what had happened. And there was an immediate awareness of sin. There was an immediate transition of the fact, okay, it's not about me and man. This is about me and God. There was that personal accountability of the fact that, okay, this is about me. This is it's an individual thing. Just it's just me and Jesus. And when you look at that, and you can go down in verse 11, it talks about the fact that great fear seized the whole church and all who had heard about these events. And a lot of times it's just like when you think about the fact that the fear of the Lord is a good thing, because you understand the fact that it's just like you don't need a fence in your life when you know the fact, okay, God sees everything in your mm-hmm. life. But when I saw that, and I saw basically what was birthed from that, and there was such a message of hope, because I look at that and you can read about it in verse 12. It's basically saying the apostles are basically healing so many people. And a lot of times we can look at that and say, okay, well, the pastor is going to do this. The deacons are going to do this. The ministers are going to do this. And it's just like, no. When you read about it in verse 13, verse 15, it talks about the fact that as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds. It was the church that responded. The church was bringing their sick. The church was bringing their lame. And it says that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them. Mm. And that has so just struck a chord to me, because their faith was lifted so high that they had the expectancy to bring the sick and have the faith to say, well, at least his shadow is going to touch him. Mm-hmm. That can be like the minimum. Yeah. How much is the faith going to be lifted in the church by what is going to happen, that the church is going to be responding to faith, not the quote unquote leader, but it's just like the body of Christ and how they're going to raise up. And we've been talking about maturity. We've been talking about growing in faith. We've been talking about that journey and walking with Jesus and abiding. And what God is going to do in this hour, it so excites me, because it's the church that's going to respond as a mass. It's just that wave of faith. We've talked about the third great awakening. We've talked about signs and wonders. And the faith is going to be lifted so high, even beyond it, to think the fact that, well, at least his shadow can touch. And it's like that gives me such a message of hope to look so far ahead and to think about them. And you look down and it says basically in verse 16, it says, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, whole cities gathering, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits. And all of them were healed. And that so stirs my spirit, knowing the fact that the church is going to be responding in the fear of the Lord, in that awareness of sin and repentance, and having that distinguishable difference between the church and the world and holiness and living that life that Jesus calls us to live, because the faith is going to be understood, the fact that this is Jesus that's going to do it. And it's the body of Christ that's going to raise up. It's the body of Christ that's going to be respond. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see great signs and miracles that are going to be poured out upon not just one, not just two, but the whole church.
I've seen it. Get ready. Listen, this is a third great awakening. Lord, we're just praying for it, and we're believing for it. But I'm telling you, it's nameless and faceless people, those that love God and know their God, are going to do great exploits. But you got to know him. You got to walk with him. Right. You got to abide with him. And when you read his word and his word becomes living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword and it's penetrating your heart, you're going to step out on God's word. If you step out on anything, step out on the word of God. What did John G. Lake said? Said, step out in bold faith and God will meet you every single time. Signs, wonders, and miracles are all coming, and they're coming to point to the one, Jesus Christ. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.